Arturo Bing. This is Michael McDonald, and we have news from Brazil. Again. Hello, everyone. This is Michael McDonald, and we have more news from Brazil to tell you about from the craziest country in South America. Thank you for joining me today to learn a little more about the country that gave humanity the samba and the first flight of a powered, heavier-than-air machine, allegedly. I would personally like to thank all of you for the kind Brazilian welcome I've received, and to our producer and editor, Leah Drummond, for inviting me to discuss this amazing and diverse country. Speaking of our producer, I will be joined by Leah later in the episode as we discuss the origins of the great podcast, as well as paying a tribute to her, one of her idols, Rita Lee. Let's get to it, shall we? We begin this episode with Tom Phillips in Rio de Janeiro on May 19th, 2023 for The Guardian, titled, "Ex-chief of Brazil's indigenous agency charged over murders of Bruno Pereira and Dom Phillips." Marcelo Xavier was accused of indirectly contributing on the grounds that he failed to take steps to protect workers in the Amazon. Federal police have brought criminal charges against the former head of Brazil's Indigenous Protection Agency for alleged acts of omission they believe indirectly paved the way for the murders of Bruno Pereira and Dom Phillips in the Amazon last year. Brazil's former far-right president, Jair Bolsonaro, made Marcelo Xavier the head of the indigenous agency FUNAI in July 2019, 6 months into his environmentally devastating four-year administration. Xavier, a former police chief who activists accused of playing a key role in the dismantling of indigenous protections, was removed from his position in December after Bolsonaro lost the presidential election to his leftist rival, Luiz Inácio Lula da Silva. In a dramatic development on Friday afternoon, it emerged that Francisco Badenes, the federal police chief responsible for the inquiry into the murders of Pereira and Phillips, had formally accused Xavier of indirectly contributing to those crimes on the grounds that he had failed to take steps to protect FUNAI workers in the Amazon. The two-page federal police indictment, seen by The Guardian, is dated the 12th of May, 2023, but it's only reported on Friday afternoon by the Brazilian broadcaster TV Globo. The accusation against Xavier is based on the legal concept of dolus eventualis, when a person is aware of the risks of a crime taking place, but fails to act to prevent it. Another senior FUNAI official, Alcir Amaral, was indicted on the same charges. Pereira worked for FUNAI until he was removed from his post in 2019, 2 weeks after he helped lead an operation targeting illegal miners in the remote Xavari Valley region, where he and Phillips, a British journalist and longtime Guardian contributor, were killed. At around the same time, one of Pereira's FUNAI colleagues, Maxiel Persiera dos Santos, was shot dead in the city of Chabatinga. After that still unsolved assassination, Xavier was reportedly warned of the risks of further violence in the region, but failed to act. Pereira and Phillips were killed on the 5th of June, 2022, after coming attack while traveling down the Amazon after a four-day reporting trip looking at the situation facing indigenous communities in the Xavari region. Their bodies were found after a 10-day indigenous-led search. Xavier sparked fury in the days that followed the men's disappearance, wrongly insinuating that Phillips and Pereira had entered an indigenous territory without government permission. A judge later ruled that the two men never entered indigenous lands, conducting interviews outside the borders of the Portugal-sized territory. Neither Xavier nor Amaral made any immediate comment about the accusations. Writing on Twitter last August, Xavier claimed the murders were being manipulated by leftist opponent Bolsonaro's government. The truth is that we investigated this fact swiftly and efficiently, which allowed us to give society a fast response, the former FUNAI chief wrote. Prominent left-wing politicians and indigenous activists welcomed reports of the charges against Xavier. The leftist lawmaker, Guillermo Bulos, denounced the former government criminal omission, Under Bolsonaro's government, Funai was warned of the risks Bruno Pereira and Dom Phillips were running and did nothing, Bulos wrote. Since Lula took office in January, Funai has undergone a radical shakeup. It is now run by the indigenous activist and politician Yohaya Wapichana, while a ministry for indigenous peoples has also been created under the leadership of another prominent indigenous politician, Sonia Guajajara. In an interview with The Guardian last year, the former Funai chief, Sidene Pusileo, said Bolsonaro's anti-indigenous actions mean indigenous people have faced a worst moment in Brazilian history because we are talking about delicate policy that comes from the president himself who gives cover to criminals and trespassers. Pusileo accused Bolsonaro of turning Funai into an anti-indigenous agency, adding, in the Bolsonaro era, everything has become so dangerous because you have a pre-planned policy that stems from the presidency and spills out to every single other government institution. Three fishers are being held in high-security prisons while a judge prepares to rule on whether they will face trial by jury. Two brothers named Amarillo e Osine de Costa de Oliveira and a third man, Jefferson da Silva Luna. There's a fourth man, shadowy figure suspected of running an illegal fishing network in the Chavari Valley region, was named as the mastermind in January, although he has yet to be formally charged. Folks, I don't know about you, but this situation, as I look into it more and more, is just more dangerous for everybody involved. The journalists, the government officials, anybody who doesn't agree with this right-wing faction under Bolsonaro. If you're in the United States right now, I'm pretty sure some parallels can be drawn, and I hate to draw parallels all the time, but it just seems so eerie and familiar. I don't know. We'll have to stay tuned. You'll listen a little more. I'll dig a little more, and we will just kind of follow along and hope for the peace. Our second article today can be found at the English version of Folha de São Paulo on the 18th of May, 2023, not signed, titled Brazil recorded at least 80 violent deaths of LGBT until April. In the same period of 2022, there were 107 victims. Transvestites and trans women account for the majority of the deaths. In Brazil, at least 80 people from the LGBTQIAP+ community suffered violent deaths by the end of April this year. The survey was carried out by Violent Deaths Against LGBTI+ Observatory. The deaths considered violent are murders, suicides, and those resulting from injuries due to aggression. For example, due to the lack of official data, according to the organization, the main sources consulted were news published in the media. Female trans and transsexuals account for most of the deaths, 50, followed by gay men at 26, lesbians 2, and trans men 2. Compared to the last 2 years, there was a decrease in the partial number of deaths. 124 were registered by the end of April of 2021. In 2022, there were 107, a 25% reduction. We continue to set these numbers so that we can fight for our right to live and the construction of public policies so that our lives are not threatened on a daily basis, says the Violent Deaths Against LGBTI+ Observatory. Folks, this is a serious topic that happens a lot more than we understand. And as we go into Pride Month around the world, let's continue to think about the aggression against not only journalists, not only the lesbian, gay, and transgender community, but anyone who others don't think, the right wing really don't think, are worthy. Our final article is sad, but it's important to our producer, Leah, as Rita was an idol to her, and also to any free thinker. Humanity has lost a good one, quoted by Leah. The article is by Alex Williams on May the 10th, 2023, for the New York Times, titled Rita Lee, Brazil's Queen of Rock and Roll, is dead at 75. As a member of the 1960s band Os Mutantes, and later as a solo artist, she drew a following that included Kurt Cobain, Beck, and the Prince of Wales, now Prince Charles III. King Charles III, pardon me. Rita Lee, a convention-flouting titan of Brazilian music, who emerged with seminal experimental bands Os Muchantes and went on to become a solo star known widely as her country's Queen of Rock, died on Monday at her home in Sao Paulo. She was 75. Her death was announced in a statement posted on her Instagram account. She has been receiving treatments for lung cancer, which she learned she had in 2021. With Os Muchantes, Ms. Lee was a product of Tropicalia movement, also known as Tropicalismo, an anti-authoritarian Brazilian culture flowering that started in late 1960s. She ultimately became a commercial powerhouse, selling a reported 55 million records over a career that stretched over half a century. As a solo artist, she churned out a string of hits in the 1970s, among them Ovelha Negra, Black Sheep, Mania da Voce, Mania for You, that became enduring classics. She was accompanied by band Tutti Frutti in her early years, and later by her husband, Roberto de Carvalho. In 2001, Miss Lee took home a Latin Grammy Award for Best Portuguese Language Rock or Alternative Album for 3001. Her reach was global. Kurt Cobain, David Byrne, and Beck are among the many musical innovators who hailed the subversive oeuvre of Os Muchantes. In 1988, King Charles III, then the Prince of Wales, requested one of her records for a dance at a banquet at the British Embassy in Paris. He was said to know the words by heart, according to the Daily Mirror. But she was no pop confection. After a troubled and rebellious youth, she was arrested in 1976 for marijuana possession and held up as a cautionary tale by Brazil's military dictatorship. She also made multiple trips to treatment facilities for drug and alcohol abuse. Irreverent and candid, Miss Lee carried herself with rock star swagger. After a cancer diagnosis, the mordant Miss Lee nicknamed her tumor Yar, a jab at Brazil's incendiary president at the time, Jair Bolsonaro. As one of the few female rockers to play guitar on stage in the 1960s, and as a solo artist who explored sexuality from a woman's point of view, Miss Lee was hailed as a feminist hero. When informed of Miss Lee's death during a Senate committee hearing, Brazil's cultural minister, the singer Margareth Menezes, was visibly overcome with emotion, describing Miss Lee as a revolutionary woman. Ms. Lee herself was a little more blunt about her triumphs. When we talk about feminism and all these things, I don't really have the theory of it. I'm more of the action, Ms. Lee said in a 2017 television interview. They used to say that women couldn't wear long pants. Huh, yes, we can. I wore mine. They used to say that women couldn't play rock. I would get my ovaries, my uterus, I'd play rock and roll. Rita Lee Jones was born December 31st, 1947. In Sao Paulo, the youngest of three daughters of Charles Jones, a dentist descended from Confederates. Rita's middle name was inspired by General Robert E. Lee, and Romilda Padula, a pianist. I'm going to introduce now my guest, Leah Drummond, our editor and producer. Welcome, Leah, and thanks for allowing me to be with you and our listeners as the host, and you are our producer, our editor, and our voice of reason, because I can get kind of crazy. But I have a couple of questions just to bring our audiences closer to me, closer to you, and understand what the whole process and purpose of this podcast is. So my first question would be, so in a move generally opposite for people who have left their homeland for another country and searching for anything familiar that can give them some sort of peace and a remembrance of the status quo that was left behind, including, of course, anything that they can find in their native language about their native country. What was your thought in having an English language podcast about the country you love and grew up with?
Hi, Michael. Thank you for the questions. My intention is to demystify Brazil to the world, because Brazil is more than samba, soccer, and beach party. I wanted to talk about what is happening, what is seriously happening in Brazil, since it's such a huge place. But for everybody I talk about it, it sounds like Brazil is a very exotic, very mysterious, and people have no idea what is happening there. So that's why I made this podcast.
Fascinating. I love that. That's super selfless. And while it's an homage to your native country, it brings your country to a whole different audience and represents and honors the place that you're living now and your children and your husband and who are lovely people. So thank you so much for that answer. So my second question, though, and here's a fun one. It fascinates me, and I'm certain it's going to baffle some of our listeners, but can you briefly talk about how did it come about that me, this particular English-speaking host who's never been to your beautiful country, and I know it's mysterious, but can you really tell anyone who started a project from the start that we understand that how hard it could be to give it over to somebody else? What made you decide to no longer be the host? Although wearing three hats is always difficult, but it's still your project. What made you decide to choose somebody else to host this for you?
Well, that's a very interesting question because I never felt confident speaking English and I thought this project was not good enough with me being the host. I wanted a native English speaker to host it since it was my first thought, but I didn't have anyone to ask. And when we met each other, you were my trainer and you love talking and you love sharing stories. I think it was one of the first things I told you. After complimenting your glasses, I told you you should host a podcast because you're such an artist figure. You love talking, you express yourself so good that, I recommended a podcast and then I invited you to be my host in my show while I'll be the editor of your own show. All of you that are listening, wait that soon. It's like work in progress, but we'll have Michael's show. And yeah, I'm very happy that you are my host here. I'm very proud of your effort and you're making amazing contributions like this interview here. That was totally your suggestion.
And we'll wrap this up with something near to you and dear to you. And in recent moments, it's the 28th of May. And so 4 days ago, something similar happened here in North America. And that is two countries have lost who they consider their queen of rock. Brazil lost Rita Lee not long ago. And coincidentally, well, conversely, North America lost Tina Turner. I didn't know anything about Rita Lee, really. I'd never heard of her. However, as I've read up on her, the two women are remarkably similar, just in different places at the right time, and created a movement and a voice for a generation, especially for women who were then empowered to do everything from what I'm reading. I mean, I know Tina Turner's story, Ike Turner and the abuse, and she left with 60, 36 cents in her pocket and ran across the highway and she made it and she left everything behind to him. So can you tell us, because we're unfamiliar about who Rita Lee is and what her legacy is and what it means to you as a Brazilian and why, how she inspired you and a generation of women and others to just feel okay about themselves?
Well, Rita was an inspiring figure for everyone, not only for women. She was a free mind person that was always brilliant, always happy, always deep and thoughtful too. Although she was always a party figure, she was always fighting for women's rights too. And she was a force of nature, as we say in English. And it's impossible not to relate to her Black Sheep song that you translated, Black Sheep. She has a song about that, and it's pretty much the same meaning in English and Portuguese. And I was the Black Sheep too. So I think most teenagers once have related to that song. And yeah, it was a big loss, She was a great person and a amazing artist overall. So, yeah, sad day for humanity.
Thank you so much for joining us today. It's been my pleasure to have Leah Drummond as our guest today. Remember, all links to every story that we've got here are located on the podcast at the bottom, and you can check them out for sure. Thank you for listening to the episode. Don't forget to subscribe and review our show on your favorite app. You can also send us a message on Twitter at News About Brazil. Leah Drummond, producer, thank you so much for joining us. I am excited. My name is Michael McDonald. I'm your host. We'll see you on the next episode whenever the Samba calls me.